Well, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever to you. It is Thursday, February 2nd, 2006, and it's, 8:30 p.m. on this Thursday night. You're listening to the Bud the Teacher podcast. I am Bud the Teacher, so it's only appropriate that I be the one on the podcast. Maybe it's time to start guest podcasting. Anyway, driving home tonight, a little later than usual. My co-pilot has been safely delivered to her mother so that I could attend parent night at school. And I am podcasting tonight about two developments. One that was not something I had intended to be thinking about on my drive home, but had a good day today. First is a math development at my school, and the second is more of a broader development, but both involving technology in schools, and oddly enough, that's what I tend to be thinking about these days, so that's what we're talking about. I had the distinct pleasure this afternoon of being in the right place at the right time with the right idea. One of my administrators was trying to figure out a way to improve the process for delivering math pre-assessments. We're trying to implement some pre-assessment tools to help us collect some data about our students. They come in every 9 weeks, some go out every 9 weeks, and we always need to know where students are and where they go in those 9 weeks that we have with them. That's as any educator would tell you, that's important data to have. We get one snapshot a year from our CSAP, which is the Colorado Standard Assessment Program. That snapshot comes after those students have gone home for the summer. It arrives, really for us, back in August when they have returned. So it's old data, and it's no good by the time it gets to us because we've already had to make the decisions about how we intend to proceed. Thank you, CSAP, for speedy delivery on all that data. We really appreciate that. That was negative. We'd like to collect more data, and I have been fiddling around in Moodle with various things over the last few weeks, and he has a very static assessment that the district likes for us to use, and I suggested that we play with Moodle. We've been using Moodle to capture student writing at school for almost three quarters of a year. We're in our third round of courses with Moodle. We like it a lot. It's slowly growing. I currently am using Moodle to talk, to put my kids together with, excuse me, the students together with students on the other side of the first round of mountains here in a community to our west. I'm doing some pen pal exchanges over our science fiction course. Been using it to collect student writing on a weekly basis and to try to deliver timely feedback, although I will admit I'm a little slower than I should be now that I've got this great tool in place for getting immediate information for my students. I'm not doing the follow-up job I'd like to be doing in terms of giving immediate feedback back, but small moves, if you're a fan of the movie Contact or the book. Small moves, Allie. Small moves, Ellie. Anyway, I'm rambling. It's been a long day. Been a good day, but we talked a little about maybe Moodle being a solution for us, and then we quit talking. We walked into the computer lab, and in about 20 minutes had created a mock sample assessment just to see what kind of data we could get back and what we could do with the test, what we could do with taking a PDF district document and importing it into Moodle. Now, here's where I ask for help. Some of you probably know how to do this. We need to be able to get Moodle to allow us to do some things like using superscript for exponents in the answers. The WYSIWYG editor in Moodle is great for the questions. We can superscript and subscript to our heart's delight. We can import pictures, so graphs are no problem, but we don't know how to make the text in the answers include exponents in a meaningful way. If you have a solution, budtheteacher@gmail.com. But more importantly, it was neat to take a tool like Moodle, go into the room, sit down with the administrator, who's a pretty tech-savvy guy, and just build that assessment. Students won't be able to complete the entire assessment on the Moodle because they do need to plot some points on a graph. Can't do that yet in Moodle that I don't know about, but if you know a way to do it, please let me know. Hey, Moodle folks, if you know how to set up a graph that we could plot points on, or if somebody out there's thinking of a way to implement that in the future, do it, and let us know about it. We'd love to know. But we're going to move our assessments over to the Moodle. Students will take those battery of assessments in the computer lab in one period, and the math teacher will have that data almost immediately. There's still a few things she'll have to score by hand, but most of it will be immediate feedback for her. Help her plan her lessons immediately from day one, and we can automate a process that is a bit of a pain and interrupts with the teaching we'd like to be doing. So that's great and exciting. Here's a tangent about Moodle. I have loved being able to get student work in terms of writing via the journaling feature, turned into the other writing teacher and myself for us to give some feedback. We've built our state writing rubric into the Moodle scoring system, so it's very easy to score a student just as they would be scored on the state test. But I sure wish that I could highlight or embed comments within the text of a journal post when I'm assessing it as the teacher. Again, if you know how to do that, or if you're thinking about adding that as a feature, do it, and let us know about it. budtheteacher@gmail.com. I would love to take some of the functionality of Writely to do inserting comments and highlighting and annotating of the text itself instead of just being able to do an endnote. That would be cool, but we're happy with what we've got, and we'll keep moving. Maybe we should involve Writely in that process, but it sure would be neat if we had it all in one package, particularly for teachers who have not played with tech before. Small pieces loosely joined is a great idea when you know how to put the pieces together. When you are needing a gateway drug for technology, Moodle sure is a good gateway system. There's help everywhere. It's a good system. There are a ton of options. I sat down with a math teacher tonight, and we looked at some. She knew things I didn't know because there's a lot of mathematical language built into Moodle and some of the quiz options. That was really cool because she got to be the expert right away. But I hope it continues to get better. I'm getting tangential, so I'll move on. The other reason I'm podcasting tonight is I have been, as I've been writing about on the blog, I've been following the Education Bridges work at educationbridges.org. Jeff LeBeau and Dave Cormier, I need to learn how to pronounce that name. sorry, Dave. Have been doing some really, really, really interesting work, starting some good conversations via the Wednesday night webcasts they've been doing about creating content resources and training resources and online resources for schools. I haven't been able to participate in those conversations, and I missed the last podcast. I haven't heard it yet. I know it was last night, Wednesday. For me, it might be 2 days ago by the time this gets uploaded, but I was reading through the chat transcript when I had a moment tonight, and I wish I could have talked back to the chat transcript, so I get to talk back to you. The goal of the Wikitext or the Wikibooks project that they are working on is to create, well, there's a lot of goals. There's goals that Jeff and Dave have. There are goals that the North Foundation, their philanthropist sponsor has. And there's all these goals that a ton of really interesting and bright teachers have for what a Wikitext can do. And that's one problem. There are too many goals. But that's typical of something new and exciting. We all want to make it fit what we need, and that's cool. That'll get people thinking and developing some tools and resources that they need. But as I was reading the chat transcript, it keeps coming back to this idea that we're going to need to have something reliable for teachers, something that they can either print out at a fixed point, or that will be static for a regular period of time, so they can plan accordingly. They don't, and I understand that idea. You don't, as a teacher, want to plan on Thursday to look at a particular passage in a wiki text and ask some discussion questions, or maybe give a writing prompt on that text, only to show up Friday to see that it's been replaced by either a better product that doesn't really work with the questions that you might have had in mind, or an inferior product that doesn't do the job you need it to do. Or super duper worst case, as I've found occasionally on a wiki, you might have some spam, or the whoever that guy is that will go to a wiki and post cock-a-poo-poo, cock-a-poo-poo, cock-a-poo-poo. That guy's annoying, and he should be dealt with. But I understand that idea, but I see something in the way that people are thinking about a wiki book, and maybe thinking about their lesson planning, in a way that I don't know that I like. And I wonder if it's a little bit old school. This idea that we are going to cover a text or cover a passage, and that it will be there and it will be stable and it will be reliable, is an old model of teaching. Here's the material I need to give to you. Here's the material you need to know, and we'll go on from there. There are certainly situations in which you need to cover material. You need to know basic things. You need to know how many protons there are in an atom of oxygen. You need to know facts and figures and numbers. I've talked about that before. There are things you need to know how to do. But isn't it more important that you know how to access and read the periodic table? Isn't it more important that you know that the information of today is outdated by tomorrow in a lot of situations? I wonder if the idea that a text might change on you is necessarily always a bad thing. As teachers, we need to be planning and preparing for the idea that information will change. It's only going to change faster. If I were a betting man, I would say that there will not be a wiki project from Education Bridges for a good, 6 months to a year. How will our students be accessing that information in 6 months to a year? I can already access textual information on my iPod, my MP3 player. Schools are going to move in the direction of more and more computers in the rooms and in the buildings. I see it coming. I don't see it happening in a year, but a long-range reform project like this should not be focused on immediate effort or immediate payoff or immediate pedagogical concerns. I would like to see the Education Bridges gang start making some decisions about what their core foci are going to be, and I think they're moving in that direction. I applaud that work. But I would be thinking about ways to prepare teachers for the idea that information may change. Knowledge is constructed. We know it's socially constructed. It will change. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe my teaching's bad if I'm prepared for too many static situations, or never prepared for the idea that information will change. Of course, as I say that, I know I teach literature. I don't think it's practical to post a short story or a poem that I'd like to study or have students look at that's of import for historical or cultural or thematic sensibilities, I don't know that I want that to change. So wikis aren't going to solve everything. Socially constructing the textbook doesn't really make sense for the literature anthology. Now, socially constructing the anthology itself makes a lot of sense. Hey, we need to build a thematic unit of text around the idea of war or time travel or the romantic or gothic romanticism. Let's put those resources together. Let's socially construct what that would look like. Let's not socially construct all of the texts themselves. Maybe we as a class write a gothic romantic story together. Maybe we build poems collectively or individually. But let's not rewrite The Raven. It's a pretty good text. Let's not rewrite Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species. Let's not rewrite the Bible, but let's rewrite what we might say about the Bible. Let's do that. Let's rewrite how we might put the Old Testament next to the other works and see how they talk to one another. That's what texts and ideas and schooling is supposed to be about. How do these texts, these ideas, talk to one another? I'm wandering from my point, which is that I wonder if necessarily the old ways that we're thinking about new resources are the best way to go. Here's another example. Printing out the book. Hey, we can make it static if we print it out. Let's really move forward a little bit. Are we as a society moving in the direction of publishing our books on paper for short term and then tossing them and then republishing on paper? Or are we moving in a direction where publish or make static could be as simple as publishing a PDF file of a particular work that you're happy with its development, you think it's ready to go? Well, you export it to a PDF and you put it on the school server, and that's the reading for the week for the class. And that's how you solve that problem. Students access it in the computer lab or on their handheld devices or at home or on those ever more cost-effective laptops I keep almost sort of kind of hearing are kind of almost sort of right around the corner. How can we think in new ways about a new content dimension? How do we embed multimedia in a text that we're going to quote-unquote publish by printing out and giving to our students? Won't work. You haven't made something better if you've embedded multimedia and then you're printing it out. Will that be a resource for some? Sure. Will it make sense for some? Sure. Does it make sense for creating books that are better than what we have now? I don't know. I certainly don't know. Anyway, just some thoughts I'm having tonight as I drive home. It's a pretty night. I have a very beautiful crescent moon to guide me down the highway. And I will consider signing on. Oh, no, I won't. There's one more thing about Wikibooks that I'm thinking about tonight, and that's this idea of socially constructing knowledge. And I'm going to say that for another time. Forgive the interruption. That was a call from my lovely wife. She was worried about me. I'm home a little later than I had intended. So, anyway, there are other things that I've been thinking about Wikibooks and how to get this done. I've been impressed by the caliber of the folks getting involved and paying attention. I don't know if it'll go anywhere long term, but it sure looks like short term there's a lot of interest in putting something together. And if Jeff and Dave play their cards right, as I suspect they will, it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. And as I wrote the other day, I hope I am able to contribute in a useful way. I hope that I hope that you are. I suspect that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have some ideas about what a project might do, might look like, and might how it might move forward. So I'm going to leave it at that for tonight. Enjoy the last few minutes of my drive and watch the lights twinkle as I head up I-25. I hope you're doing good work as always. Appreciate the responses to yesterday's podcast. Apparently, Ani and I make a good podcasting team. So we'll keep it up. We'll keep it up. Take care. Do good work. Look after one another. And we'll talk to you soon. If you want to leave a comment or want to start a conversation, please head on over to the blog, budtheteacher.com. Leave a comment. Leave a link to something you're working on or thinking about. Or shoot me an email, budtheteacher@gmail.com. If you think there's something I should be talking about or you would like to correct me on. Take care.